Well, first off, happy Father's Day again to all the dads that are out there. And as we open up the Word of God today, we want to focus on some of the things that the Bible has to say specifically about dads. Now, I realize that most of you that are here are not dads. Some of you may be dads someday in the future, so you can just keep this in your memory bank when you're dads. But others of you, for certain specific gender reasons, will never be a dad, and that's okay. But there are truths that we can all learn from the Word of God about what it really means to be a godly dad. And we want to look at some passages today concerning that. But when it comes to the father-child relationship, what is an important aspect of being a father? There are many, but today I just want to touch on three areas. And the first area is compassion. Now, for us who are dads, we may first off tend to think, well, that's the mom's role. Dennis, you touched on that this morning. Just, that's the mother's job to be compassionate. Guys, we're the man, right? We're the one with the iron fist. We lay down the law. Dad is law. Mom is grace. Maybe we kind of view it that way. And certainly as men, as dads, we have a responsibility to instill right living into our children's hearts and minds. But along with that ought to come a heart of compassion. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:13, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says that God is the father of compassion, or the father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Therefore, if compassion resides in the heart of the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, then we who seek to be men of God ought to display compassion as earthly fathers as well. Well, what does it mean to have compassion, and how do we display compassion to our children? How does that all flesh out? Well, compassion literally means, in the English, it means to suffer with. It comes from those two words, to suffer with. And it's closely tied to the words mercy and the words pity. And as we look at the life of Christ, we see this often in the ministry of Christ. Certainly when we look at the ministry years of Christ, what stands out is often his miracles, aren't they? We see the power that was displayed in Christ. And as Christ went around casting out demons and healing people, he began to draw a crowd. People began to follow him. They saw the power of Christ. And even if you didn't need to be healed, if you were physically well, you still went out and saw what Christ was doing. Why? Because as humans, we're often wowed by power, aren't we? Especially some of us guys, right? How many of you guys play golf, right? How many of you just like to drive that ball as far as you can? You just want to be as powerful and crush that thing. And so we buy these big old drivers with the big heads on them, right? So it'll just go as far as it will. We like power. If you've ever been to a car show, at a car show, why are the hoods up? Why are the hoods up? Because we want to see what's in there, right? It's nice to see the chrome and the clean plate, but hey, how many cubic inches does that thing have, right? Does that thing have a Holley four-barrel carburetor? What's in that, baby? We want power. How many of you remember that TV show, Home Improvement, years back? Remember Tim the Tool Man Taylor? And the whole premise for the show was this guy gloried in more power. Whatever it was, whatever hand tool he could get, it had to have power. And it was a comical show. But often as people, we are just awed and wowed by power. And what does this all have to do? You may say, where are you going with this? Hang on, we're getting there. When Christ displayed his power from miracles, what often motivated the miracles was this: compassion, mercy, and pity. The Bible says that when Jesus saw a leper, he was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand, he touched the leper and said, "Be clean." When Jesus taught the crowds, he saw the multitudes. He saw that they had gone without food for a few days. The Bible says he had compassion on them and he fed them. He fed the 5,000. Two blind men come to Jesus, and the Bible says Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes and healed them. Often the driving force behind the great powerful miracle was a heart of mercy, a heart of compassion that resided in Christ. And it's important we don't miss that. We see the power, we're awed by the power, but what caused that power? What really drove Christ was a heart of compassion. May we not miss the heart of Christ. Well, as dads, how can we display compassion to our children? Our children may not have leprosy. They may not be blind. And hopefully they've had some food in the last few days. But you know what? All of our children have weaknesses. They all have weaknesses. Maybe your child may not be as athletic or as smart as the kid next door. But do you have compassion on them and pity on them? Or do you get in their face and say, why can't you be like that kid? Why can't you be as smart as the Smith's son? Why can't you be as good as an athlete as the Jones's daughter? Why can't you be like them? I remember a time when I was a sophomore in college. I had been home on winter break. And I received a piece of mail from the University of Massachusetts. And it had to do with my academic status. Just so you know, my first semester, I was put on academic probation. And, you know, part of the reason was some of the things I shared last week. That's why I had such bad grades. But also because I just wasn't that smart. But anyway, I struggled a little bit. So the second semester, I buckled down and I brought my grades up. But that third semester, I kind of fell back again. And so the letter basically said that I was put on academic suspension. And when I got that letter, I was just crushed. You know, I really had tried hard. And I'll never forget my dad at that moment. He just, in that moment, I don't remember what he said exactly, but I just remember he put his hand on my shoulder, and he just said, you know what, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so we set up an appointment with the dean, and thankfully the dean had compassion on me. They crushed down my course load, so I didn't have to take so many courses. I think I took golf. That was one of my credits, so I could, you know, do well that semester. But thankfully that dean had compassion on me as well, and I was able to continue with that. But I always remember that moment. In my weakness, my father had compassion on me in that moment when I was weak and when I was disheartened. Well, dads, do you know your child's weaknesses? Do you recognize those moments when they are just in a weak spot and they need compassion from their dad? And if you don't, then watch out closely for those moments, because we can often miss those moments, and I confess there are moments that I miss those opportunities to show compassion. Well, one area of weakness that we must not forget is spiritual weakness. If our children do not know Christ, the Bible describes them as helpless. Romans 5:6 says, "For while we were still weak," or some translations say powerless, "at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." And if our children are not saved, if they're not born again, if they have not been changed by the power and the grace of God, then they're in a weak moment. They're in a powerless state. And in that time, are we going to have compassion on them for their state? Are we going to pray for their salvation? Are we going to continue to bring forth the Word of God in their life and say, "My child, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life"? You may think you're on a path that's leading you to happiness and whatnot, and you're on the right path, but the Proverbs say that in the end, that way that seems so right only leads to death. My child, turn to Christ. Embrace Christ. Do we do that? Do we have the compassion to share Christ with them? And if our children are believers, and no matter how strong they may be in their faith, they still have areas of weakness. Just like we as adults, don't we? We all have spiritual weaknesses. And when they are weak, how can we help them in their weakness? Well, one major way is to provide encouragement. That's aspect number two we want to look at today, is encouragement. It's one thing to feel pity. It's another thing to do something about it. And this is what compassion really means. It means to feel pity and then respond with action. And this is what we see with Christ. He sees a need and then he does something about it. And as dads, a great way to strengthen the weak, our weak children, is to provide that encouragement. Encouragement literally means to put the heart back into someone. To put the heart back in there. When they're disheartened, when they've lost their way, we can provide that encouragement for them. Our children can often be deflated and discouraged. And as dads, hopefully we can recognize those moments and intervene. And again, I confess, I often miss those opportunities when my kids are deflated and discouraged. And one reason for that is, many of you dads maybe can relate, how many of you feel like you're in the correction mode 24/7? Ever feel that way? You know the weight of being a father. You know you're responsible for your children and to teach them, as Dennis said, train up your child in the way he should go. You feel the weight of that as a dad. And so every mistake they make, we're doing what? We are correcting them, aren't we? And that's a good thing. We need to do that. But if that is the only time our children hear them speak to them, they may get this idea or this sense. Gee, the only time dad pays attention to me is when I'm screwing up, right? When I'm doing something wrong. And that may translate into this. The only time dad really loves me is when I'm being good. And that may not be the case, but that may be what we convey to them by our actions. Colossians 3:21 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And as a dad, you may say, you know what, sometimes I discipline my child and they get mad at me, they're provoked. How can I help that? And the truth is, we can't help that. That's not the, quote, provoking that is being spoken of here in the Word of God. The provoking to anger is this, when we belittle our children, when we degrade them, or when we smother them, we're overbearing on them, they just feel like they can't make a move, they don't even have a relationship with us, and we provoke them to anger. That's when it's our sin. We don't want to be in that spot where it's our sin that causes them to be provoked. It's another thing if it's their sin. Right? When we're doing the right thing, correcting them, disciplining them, and they're provoked, well, then that's their issue, isn't it? That's their problem. They need to deal with that between themselves and God. They need to correct it. But when it is our sin that causes them to be provoked, the Bible says they can become discouraged. We can discourage our children, and thoughts may pop up in their heads like this, I can't do anything right. I can't do anything right. Or they may say, my dad hates me. They may feel that. These all may come about because we have provoked our children. A great way to steer clear of provoking our kids is simply this, respecting our children. We certainly want our children to respect us, don't we? And we make that very clear. You need to respect us. But do they sense a respect for them as well? Why? They are made in the image and the likeness of God. And God says we are to respect all people because each person has been made in the image and the likeness of God. There ought to be no belittling, no degrading, and no disrespect, but rather respect for all humanity because we are made in the image and likeness of God. It's important that we as dad encourage our children. And there are many ways to do that. One major way is just to be involved in their life. Just take part in the things that they're involved in. And I know that for some of you that may be hard. Your schedules just don't allow that. But when you do have the time, do they see that dad is making me a priority, that dad is actually taking the free time when he has the free time, What's he choosing? Is he choosing to read the newspaper or to take an interest in me? What are they seeing in us as dads? Another way to encourage them is to simply speak words of encouragement. And you know what? Our children don't have to be the scholar athlete for us to encourage them. I'm not talking about kind of puffing them up with pride and making them, putting them up something that they're really not. We need to be real. But just giving them healthy doses of encouragement for the things that we see in them that we can encourage them in. And one of the best ways to encourage them is simply to speak the words, "I love you. I love you." And that may be hard for some of you. Probably the older you are, the harder it is to do. I think generations ago, it just was not common to say the words, "I love you," a lot. In our day, it's much more common. Even if you're not a Christian, you may hear parents tell their kids that they love them. And it may be hard to express those words, "I love you." Now, certainly we're to back up those words with actions. But if they hear those words, "I love you," on a daily basis, our children are going to sense a security. They're going to sense that there is an unconditional love. You know what? Even if my dad had to discipline me, even if my dad spanked me that day, at night when it was all said and done, he tucked me in and he said, "I love you." He senses that no matter what, through thick and thin, my dad still loves me. There's an unconditional love that is poured out. And we need to demonstrate that and display that to our kids. Well, let's look at the third way this morning. And the best way really to encourage our kids is to guide them spiritually. To guide them spiritually. As you read the Old Testament and you look at the way that God set up family life for the people of God, the people of Israel, the father had a great responsibility to teach and to train the children. And though we may not be, quote, under the old covenant law anymore, there are still principles of that law that we need to apply to our lives today. Those laws, principles, still apply to the dad. And we find them in the new covenant as well. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Well, what are some practical ways that we can do that? One way is what many of you dads are doing today. You're bringing your children to church. You're bringing them to Sunday school. That's a great way to bring them up in the nurture, the instruction of the Lord. As many of you know, when I speak, sometimes my words don't always come out the way I want them to. Sometimes I can catch them and correct them. Other times I say it and I don't even know I said it. And as I load messages onto the internet, sometimes I cringe as I hear myself speak. I can relate to Brad as he talked about last week saying a word, significance or something, wasn't a word. I can relate to that a lot. And last week, if you were here, I said that the man who brings his church to family every week. That's what I said. I meant to say, the man who brings his family to church every week. That's what I meant to say. But this week, I mean to say, the man who brings his church to family. In other words, we bring our family to church. That consists of about 2 hours a week. What happens the other 166 hours of the week? Do we bring church to our family? In other words, do we minister the Word of God? Do we read the Bible with them? Do we pray with them? It's important to do that. I know summer is coming, and kids are going to have a lot more free time. And I confess, when summer comes, I do a lousy job of spending time reading the Bible with my kids. I just seem to get real lax during the summer. We're not in a routine anymore. They're not off to school. We don't do that. Dads, if you don't read the Bible with your kids, start doing that. Start doing that. And maybe for the summer, you could even set up a little schedule. Before you log on to the computer, you need to log into the Word of God, right? Hey, before you play PS2, read PS2. That's Psalm 2. Before you submerge yourself into the swimming pool of water, you submerge yourself into the Word of God, the living water, right? We can do things to encourage our kids to have a steady diet of the Word of God in our lives. And not only do they need consistency, but they ought to see a little spontaneity in us as well when it comes to teaching the things of God. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, last passage we're going to look at today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We often hear this at baby dedications, but really this applies to the whole life of the child. Let's read that. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." When are we to impress the things of God on our children? Basically, whenever, right? All the time. Whatever you're doing, whatever activity you're in, if you're driving down the road, if you're playing ball, take every opportunity to impress the things of God. What things of God? "My child, love the Lord your God with everything you have and love others as yourself." Those two commandments are so important to be impressed upon our children. I don't know how you feel about Christian t-shirts and little wristbands and all that stuff, but according to Scripture here, what's wrong with that, right? What's wrong with a child looking down and seeing a little pota on their shirt that reminds them to put on the armor of God, or to have a little wristband that says WWJD, so that in a moment when they might be tempted to commit sexual immorality, or they may be tempted to smoke some dope, they may look at that thing and say, "What would Jesus do?" Jesus wouldn't do that. I'm going to obey. I'm going to honor God. This is what the picture of what is happening in Deuteronomy. Just write these things on their hearts. Keep them. Write them on your kitchen borders. Right, that I am the vine and you are the branches. Right, Helen? She did that in the kitchen there. John 15:5. So that when the kids look at that, it would be implanted in their brains, impacted their lives. Let the Word of God penetrate our kids' lives. And of course, the great challenge as adults is what is mentioned in verse 6, isn't it? Moses says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." In other words, you, adults, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then tell your kids, "Hey, this is how you live." First, demonstrate it. First, live it out. Be an example. Do they see you loving God? Do they see me loving God and loving others? Do they see that? Again, impress those things whenever. Well, dads, how you doing? How you doing? This week was very painful for me. You guys get it all in about 25, 30 minutes. I had all week to think about these things that I screw up, I fail on. I honestly say that as a dad, I don't take enough time. I don't ask myself, you know what, how am I really doing as a father? How am I doing as a dad? I often don't even think about that, and it's a bad thing. I need to do that. And so my purpose today is not to beat you up. I heard, I think it was Jeremiah this week said that he heard someone say that on Mother's Day, the moms are all praised and lifted up, and the dads are, on Father's Day, the dads get beat up. And that may be how you feel. I don't want to beat anybody up today. That's not my intention. I just want to hold out the Word of God and say, dads, this is what God says. Let's seek to honor God with our lives and be encouraged, because God Himself is our greatest encourager. God wants us to live that godly life. And today, even if you're not a dad, you know what? Those things like showing compassion, having unconditional love, all those things ought to be demonstrated in all of our lives as believers. It ought to be there. Well, as I close today, I just want to focus on the most awesome Father that anyone could know. And that is God Himself, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is full of compassion and mercy. He knows what we need before we even ask. He always knows what is best for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He loves us with an unconditional love. And God our Father has demonstrated, He's proved His love by sending Christ, His own Son, to the cross. He's demonstrated it to us. And so today, if you don't know this Father, I pray that you would make this the best Father's Day ever. That you would bow your heart to Christ, that you would acknowledge your sin, that you would turn from sin, forsake sin, and embrace Christ, embrace His forgiveness, that He might give you hope and eternal life in Him, and that you would truly have that Abba Father relationship. God would be your intimate Heavenly Father, not just this God somewhere off in a distance, as that song goes. No, He's an intimate God. He's my dad. He's my father. I know Him. I want to be in His presence. I want to love Him more. You can have that relationship with Him through Christ, through bowing your heart and submitting to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank You that we can call You Father. God, You're holy. You are majestic. You are above all. You are the Creator of the ends of the earth. Lord, no one owes You anything. But yet, Lord, in Your mercy and Your grace, You've stooped to love us. In our sin, You chose to send Your Son to bear our punishment. And Lord, we cannot fathom the depth and the width and the height and the breadth of Your love. But, oh Lord, we've caught a glimpse of it through Christ. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, help each and every one of us today who are dads to have the same compassion that You have, to have the same mercy and pity. Lord, to be an encouragement in the lives of our children. And Lord, even if they're grown and out of the house, may we still seek to encourage them and respect them. And Father, help us all, most of all, to instill spiritual truths into the lives of our kids. Lord, give us that passion to do that. And we ask this, Lord, all in Jesus' name. Amen.